Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, April 7, 2026. Thank you for downloading and happy 6-month non-compete clause is over day for those who celebrate. And I do. That's right. My non-compete clause with the former radio gig I had at iHeartRadio is now over. 6 months to the day since they said, yeah, nah. Now, I've had many people say to me, oh, those are not enforceable. Those are bullshit. You should just ignore that. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't quite work that way. It is true that the courts and Congress have chipped away at non-competes as a concept in business and labor law for some time. However, here's the thing. If you ignore it and then they decide to sic their lawyers on you, guess what? You're going to have to sue to win. And once you sue, you lose. Like, you're suing, you're already losing. You're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars an hour in billable hours. Why? So you could get right back to work within 6 months? I know you can say, well, you gotta pay your rent. You gotta be able to feed your family. Well, there's something called an emergency fund that we all were taught, hopefully taught early on in life as part of adulting. Make sure you got some cash on hand in case your current gig runs out and it takes a while to find another one. So yeah, once you sue, you lose. And then don't be so sure you're going to win. I mean, once you're into the legal system, it's like, good luck on that. I would have had to have sued iHeart in their corporate headquarters in Texas. And I understand that Texas is quite the home court advantage, literally speaking, home court advantage for these kind of things. And no, they have not been made totally illegal. Some would say they should be totally illegal. There should be no way that any company should say, okay, well, since you're no longer working for us, you cannot work for anyone else in the same field because you're going to hurt our business. I feel a lot of that argument. I think there's a lot of truth to that in this day and age. But I understand there are some legitimate reasons for that, to have non-competes. For example, let's say you are a hairdresser and you're working for a salon. You applied for a job, you're at a salon, you cut hair at the salon, at their store, using their equipment, their marketing, their storefront, their, you know, everything else, billing and cash register and whatnot. You build up a client base, people who like you, and they're like, oh, Miss Johnson, you do a great job of cutting my hair. I love you so much. Just don't go anywhere. I want to keep coming to you so you can cut my hair. And once you get a big enough portfolio of these clients, you go, you know what? I'm opening up my own salon right down the road. And you take all those clients and you possibly take more. Well, the argument is you would not have had access to those clients and or had a place to ply your trade as a as a hair cutter without that original job. So in those sort of situations, I do understand to a certain degree the legitimacy and the reasons for a non-compete. But here's the bottom line. Radio companies are all agreeing to play by the same rules. So the one big radio company is not going to then just say, well, I know you got a non-compete with that other big radio company. We're just going to ignore that and let them legally try to put us on the hook with you as well. They want no part of that. I mean, they don't have the money to be part of that. Nobody does. Because radio is not thriving, to put it nicely. There is another round of management layoffs, first at Odyssey Incorporated, which is the state, the company that owns the station in D.C. that I am very happy to do fill-in and part-time work for, 106.7 The Fan. And it was mostly management types, middle management. They're collapsing sort of their structure of market managers, regional managers, managers, you know. And that's probably, I guess, long overdue. But again, it's the ice cube that's melting. iHeart followed suit with their own similar sort of collapsing of their upper management structure. And I heard that the guy who replaced the guy who retired, who was in charge of 97.3 The Game, our former regional VP, he retired on his own. That was back in June. New guy comes in, doesn't like anything that the guy who retired was doing, including this sports station in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at 97.3 The Game, and goes about saying, yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're folding that all up. And so that's what led to the whole thing collapsing in October. That guy apparently got whacked. Ooh. Sorry, buddy. Word is from a little birdie that the Q4 and Q1 numbers in the market group were abysmal, probably in part because a thriving sports station was no longer billing what it did. But hey, you know what? It took a chance. Now, currently, 97.3 in Milwaukee FM is B97. Feel good music from the 80s till today. I actually just tuned in to stream a little bit of it, and I heard one of the DJs, Samantha Rock or something like that. It was her name. It's not a real name, I'm sure. And I'm just thinking, I've never heard of her in the Milwaukee market. Don't know if she's even there. They use DJs in music radio that voice track in between songs, little anecdotes and news items to make it feel familiar and sort of comfy for multiple stations and multiple markets. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you're like, yeah, duh, I've known that for a while, but letting you know behind the curtain, that's how it's done. Save money, save money, save money. So people are going to ask me, and you're going to ask me right now, so what does this mean? You're going to be on radio again? Either in Milwaukee or in D.C. or somewhere else or nationally? My answer is simple. Who knows? I would love to do it. I am available to do it. But a station or a network has got to want to do it. And these are their stages and their platforms, and I am thankful when I am asked to play on any of them. But they own the transmitters. They own the mics. They own the studios. Never mind the fact that they're struggling because the old ways are collapsing and the new ways are coming, if not already here and dominating, but still. I thank everyone who's been a longtime listener on radio and supporter. You guys helped make my career, which is not over yet. I'm not dead. Even though somebody said, one of their friends asked the question, whatever happened to that guy? As if I died. Oh yeah, Zabe, he died. Choked on a Pop-Tart. I'm now in that category, the whatever happened to that guy category. Spread the word, those of you out here, saying this is where he is. This is what he does. And it's really good. 5 days a week. So anyway, just that's the state of things on this 6-month non-compete clause is over day for those who celebrate, and I indeed do. I'm happy, I'm alive, I'm doing what I love to do, looking forward to doing more. And I'll cope with the ego-crushing reality of being a has-been, who's now actually thinking, maybe I'm a never-was, which is worse than being a has-been. But I'll be fine. I'll be fine. That's for me and my therapist. Masters Week is here, and there's a lot of interesting, unique, juicy, eye candy, delicious content and imagery coming out already. It's going to be an incredible week of weather. There is no chance of rain in the forecast. There has not been rain down there for the last 20 days almost. They have plenty of water to irrigate the greens and the fairways, and the course is going to be firm and fast, and yes, sir, let's go. One of the features that has come out, which has been sent to me by many people, because you know I'm a huge photo nerd, is that Ken Griffey Jr., that's right, the kid, the Hall of Fame slugger, is now becoming an avid photographer. Dare near a professional photographer, you know, with the big camera lens and the equipment and everything else. So the Masters, I think, produced this sort of mini documentary showing what it's like to be Ken Griffey Jr. out there lugging around a Canon EOS 5D and a giant lens getting shots of the Masters, and then having his photo editor critique them. And I've seen some clips where the photo editor is like, these pictures are crap. I believe it was a bit of a Gordon Ramsay-like over exaggeration. Good for Ken Griffey Jr. You know, his former teammate in Seattle, Randy Johnson, has been doing this for a long time. And it's been jarring to see this 6'10" mulleted freak out there with all the camera gear and the vest and everything else, but he's super into it. And that's great. I feel great for those guys, but I got to say something just so you guys know. And this will sound like I'm just being jealous or bashing for no reason. I'm trying to let you in on something. You put one of these modern cameras in the hands of, oh, I don't know, somebody from the DMV, and just set it to aperture priority, which is one of the settings that controls maybe the most crucial element of your photography, and then set it to auto exposure, auto focus, set it to motor drive, or burst mode, where you can get up to 30 frames per second with huge memory cards so that it's hard to even fill them up. And then you put that person in Augusta with all the greenery and the patrons and the golfers and the beautiful scenes. Trust me, you're going to get great shots. Anyone's going to get great shots. You could get great shots. I can tell you, I could coach you up in 5 minutes and go, okay, here's some basics. Rule of thirds, timing, lighting, framing. It's pretty much it. Look for something that's interesting. Keep your head on a swivel. Be aware of what's going on. And away you go. Mind you, they've got a $6,000 body and one of those giant telephoto lenses, which is probably a 600 mil prime or longer, can cost up to $12,000 a piece. So when you see Ken Griffey Jr. do it, don't think, wow, this is great. He's learned this very esoteric and difficult art of professional or semi-professional photography. Yeah, not really. Now, I know professional photogs. Shout out to my boy, Matt Addington, who is a wildlife photographer, and he actually makes a living taking photographs, which is one of the hardest things to do in the world because there's so many people out there that would love to make money being a photographer. And it's hard. There's a lot of competition. Everyone has a phone. And why do I need a pro? Well, he does nature photography, wildlife photography that is unbelievable. And he goes on these incredible hunts where he is hiking up into the mountains, doing elk hunts, getting the killer shots of the men who would take measure of the land and its beasts, grizzly bear shots as well. And he knows way, way, way more about photography than I ever will. And I would never mean to besmirch a legitimate photographer, but you know, Ken Griffey Jr. out there with all the equipment. I mean, come on, it's the Masters. You give him a shitty camera. You give him, you know, something like a Pentax, that is a one-inch sensor and no accessories, and go tell him to film, you know, take pictures of a youth baseball game, come back and show me what you got. The photos are going to suck, okay? Subject matter and lighting is nine-tenths of pretty much everything. Just saying. Okay, before I get to Doug Gottlieb, who is going to be the main interview on this podcast today, because I talked to him a while back, but I think the interview still holds up. He's going to talk about what it takes to drag a low mid-major D1 program like Green Bay off the bottom of the ocean, which he did this year, and then give us some insight into just how hard it is for his, you know, level of program to schedule up in college basketball. There's some interesting talk, fascinating talk, as I record this before the championship game tonight in the Final Four between UConn and Michigan, with the winner tonight going to
Michigan.
And in a stunning upset,
UConn
is your champion. One shining moment. By the way, One Shining Moment should be an absolute banger tonight. It better cook, given all the awesome source material. Dylan Darling, the big Spaniard for Iowa. You got Chase Johnston for High Point. You got Mullins for UConn. I mean, you got guys, you got shots, you got moments. We can really make a lot of good sausage out of what we got in the One Shining Moments. But before we get to Doug Gottlieb, a future Zabe cast is going to dig into the whole Giannis Bucks I need to play situation, because it's fascinating to me the kind of vitriol that a simple opinion is, which is Armin Sarian said, "I cannot believe so many fans are making Giannis out to be the villain. I think it's very sad, but I guess it's human nature. We always do this with our stars. Guy just wants to play. He loves Milwaukee, but probably doesn't like this changing Bucks regime. Why is that bad?" Okay. Armin, my friend, I said to him, I go, "I can't believe you don't see what everyone else sees. A coddled star who is now turning on the team who did everything for him. Sad indeed." Now, my opinion, I think, is shared by probably 60 to 70% of level-headed basketball fans and even Buck fans who have pointed out, hey, you want Thanasis on the team? He's really not an NBA player. Okay, we'll put him on the team. You want the other brother, Alex, on the team? Okay, now he's on the team too. Isn't it fun? You want to play for Greece in the World Basketball Championships and, you know, put more wear and tear on your body when we're paying you $50 million a year and you've been injured in the playoffs the last 3 years in a row? We don't like it, but okay. Adrian Griffin, the guy we hired to replace Budenholzer, you're not liking him, even though he's got a really good record so far. You want him fired. Now, that's not on the record that he wanted him fired, but everyone just assumes that it had the blessing of Giannis. So they're like, okay, you want to fire him? Okay, fired. Who do you want? Doc Rivers. The trade for Dame, was agitated for, in part, by Giannis. So they did just about everything for him. All they want now is for the rest of this lost season, utterly lost, terrible season in which they're not going to make the playoffs, they just want to shut him down. And Giannis is now being a total tryhard. Like, man, I just want to play. You know, it's what I was born to do. He's being a tryhard. There's no sense in doing this. Especially not when the smart play is to, once the season is over, hopefully without Giannis re-injuring that leg again, the calf or the Achilles, God forbid, is to get him into the offseason clean and healthy and then work on finding a place for him that he'd be happy and the Bucks can get back as much as they can in return, which will not be as much as they could have gotten a year ago. They were late on this. They didn't want to do it. I understand why. They're going to get a whole lot less now. But the only ask is to just sit out the rest of the year with a legitimate injury and let the team lose and let's start over in the offseason. To me, that is not a big ask. And why is it that people can't see that he's been a coddled star? Well, some of the responses, incredible. This one from IKE Bucks Podcast. Grew up listening to you, Zabe. Whenever it starts with this, it's always sort of like the disappointed father angle. You know, I'm more disappointed than angry. I grew up listening to you, Zabe. At this point, it's obvious. You're just trying to pay your bills. You're not from Milwaukee. That's been noted many times, sir. You burn the bridge with Bob and Brian. I love the amount of people that think they understand that dynamic of me leaving their show is incredible. And how wrong they are is also incredible, but that's fine. Lesson, diversify your income so you don't have to sell your integrity with trash takes like this. Go back to Washington. Well, I never left, sir. Or ma'am, whoever runs IKE Bucks Podcast. I just laughed. I said to myself, I'm like, and of course I didn't reply because don't feed the trolls. That's the first sign over the bridge. I just chuckled. I'm like, that is peak provincialism. There is a provincialism in sports and sports radio of you're not from here, you're not legit. How dare you have any contrary opinion to what the hometown homer view is? And look, I get it to a certain extent, but then again, it just seems over the top. All for a Giannis opinion that he's being a coddled star who's turned on the team. I didn't say a villain. I didn't say that nothing he did like win a championship for the city and the team wasn't wonderful and amazing. I still am fond of Giannis, but he's being a stupid tryhard right now that's not helping the team, threatening to get the NBA to come investigate and whack the Bucks even further. Like, what does that do any good? Jesus, man. Be quiet and just sit, for God's sakes. Provincialism, definition. Concern for one's own area or region at the expense of national or supranational unity. The way of life or mode thought characteristic of the regions outside the capital city. Yes, that was a peak provincialist response. Others were even more angry, such as this one. This from at MadsKills789, whose handle name is Doc Sucks. And it's an icon of Jordan, so it might be a Chicago guy. Hashtag Giannis, hashtag Man United, hashtag Jordan is the GOAT, 115 followers. Okay. This person, this teenager in his parents' basement, this bot says, quote, who did everything for him, unquote. That's what you say? You pathetic, ignorant fuck. Bucks were fucking nobodies before he came. They built a stadium because of him. Jobs open up because of him. He got you a fucking ring, you shit-faced fucking moron. you deserve to be where your pathetic ass team is headed in hell. I'd love to know if that's a real person. I'd love to know how old they are. I'd love to see what they look like. I'd love to talk to them and just go, what is going on in your life, honestly? Where is the anger coming from? What hasn't worked out to your satisfaction? All of that based on a simple sports take. And for the record, I want Giannis to leave Milwaukee because he'll waste the rest of his career there if he stays. I know he could make technically a bit more money based on the NBA salary rules, but why? He has already got more than enough. He's got the endorsement deal with Kalshi, for God's sakes. He needs to go play somewhere else where they don't have a roster that is a smoldering hole in the ground, which is what the Bucks are right now. So go do that, because I would hate to see a generational talent, a first ballot NBA Hall of Famer, a still very likable guy, I'd hate for him to waste the rest of his career, which will run out quicker than we think, as he is now, what, 33, 34 years old? But yeah, that's my unified stance on it. But for now, he's being a problematic baby, and he's not helping. Just fucking sit out. Seriously. I mean, come on. Let's be real here. And for Bucks fans who are angry about it, also know this. It's over. Like, you're going to have to get your head around that. It's over. It was glorious. And the immediate aftermath is grim. No question about it. The roster is completely nuked. The asset they bought last year in Miles Turner was way overpriced and is not going to age well. And they've given away all their draft picks to try to get one more ring out of Giannis. Didn't work. I think they had a chance without the injuries to Giannis in subsequent years, but sports and life is cruel sometimes. So there you go. Quick break when we come back. Doug Gottlieb, head coach of the UW Green Bay Fightin' Phoenix. You are listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Joining us now, Doug Gottlieb, head coach at the UW of Green Bay, the Fightin' Phoenix. He is not in 2 feet of snow. He is in his boyhood home in Orange, California. Did you at least get your driveway shoveled before getting out of Dodge?
No, it wasn't really prearranged. I mean, all honesty, Zabe, I thought we were going to plan. Like, I thought we had a legit shot to win our tournament.
Right.
And then, you know, we were invited to the CBI, and we decided we just weren't healthy enough to play in the CBI. So then it's like kind of scramble mode, because I have three children. They all live in Oklahoma, two go to Oklahoma State. My son's in high school in Oklahoma. And my son was like fired up, like, dude, I'm gonna come up. We're gonna go to the tournament. It's gonna be awesome. And, you know, we lost. And he's like, what do you want to do? Let's go to Cali. Because previous to me taking the job, we all lived in California. And I literally got like booked the flights. I don't know. Like 2 days after we lost, you know, we're getting ready for exit interviews, et cetera. And then, you know, the snow totals kept growing and growing and growing. But no, I missed, it was 27 inches at my house. And I asked somebody staying at my house and they're like, coach, the plow hasn't even been here yet. We can't get out. It was like COVID, I guess, where only the Bar East was open in town. So I missed like storm of the century. And here's how big a dummy I am, Zabe, is, you know, I'll do a bunch of local radio, some statewide radio. And I keep asking people, like, feels like we're done here, right? It's like it was 50, 60 degrees. And they're like,
you said that
trust
before
me.
The blizzard?
Yes. Yes.
You jinxed it. Yes. Well, you jinxed it then. But yes, then again, it's a California kid in the wilds of not even northern Wisconsin, but, you know, slightly more than southeast Wisconsin, you have learned the ways of it's never over until there's like bluebirds on the tree. Then you can say it's probably over.
No, I live on the bay, right? So I saw the bay, you know, like melt, right? All of a sudden, and I'm thinking, okay, now all of a sudden it's going to be walleye season and people are going to be outside my door, like with 10, 15 boats, which is what happened last year. So I'm like, okay, so walleye season? Like, no, dude, not yet. And they were right and I was wrong.
Hell of a turnaround. You guys were 4-28 last year. And as I like to joke, how'd they win the four? It's a miracle. And this year you guys went 12-8 in league and 18-15 overall. What was the difference?
You know, first thing is, you know, last year is one of those, anything can go wrong would go wrong. Not only was I inexperienced, I thought my staff was too inexperienced. And then we had the nation's leading scorer, Anthony Roy, who's also leading the country in effective field goal percentage, and he broke his ankle. So, you know, and I had a big guy kind of on the way. He got there in January. He was never healthy. It's just, again, it was like, I kept turning to my assistant coaches and go, this just keeps getting better. You know, we were on academic probation last year, so we could practice one day less than everybody else. I'm like, you name it, it was bad. And yet we were still very competitive. We had great kids and they fought really hard. But I had to, you know, you have to do some soul searching and figure out what you got to do better. I think the number one thing was I changed my staff. I didn't fire people. Those guys went on to good, better jobs. But it allowed me to really pause and take a look at things because it got thrown together, Zabe. You get a job mid, late May. It's one thing if you come from a D2 or an NAIA or another Division I program where you can bring players with you. I couldn't. The staff that the year before when I'd interviewed for the job I'd planned to have, I couldn't get, just didn't have the finances for it. The timing didn't work. Mm-hmm. So the first thing was really the staff. And I started by adding my old high school coach who had become a really highly successful junior college coach. And he was with us for like a month in the first year, just because I wanted him to see the level of comp. I wanted him to be around me for when I was a coach. And I wanted him to get a sense of what I needed to do and just had, again, some hard conversations with people I really trust, took copious notes and started to implement a different plan. And then I added two other coaches, Keel Gans, who I think is an outstanding coach. He's interviewing for some D2 jobs. He was at Northern Michigan as the defensive coordinator. He came in. He's a Green Bay alum. And then Kerry Rupp is just, he's a master class on a daily basis. 73 years old, been a head coach at Louisiana Tech, assistant for Majerus, assistant for Mike Davis, tireless worker. So the first thing was we had to change the staff and then become aligned on what are the building blocks of how we build a good basketball team. And then, you know, it started with a rough start. You know, we were 1-5, I think. Part of it is, you know, we just played a ridiculous schedule. We were just trying to survive the non-conference. But we circled back to the virtues that I believe are going to build this program, which is we just play the guys who gave a damn, you know, who really cared about winning and playing the way we want to play. And many of those guys were the returners. And they cared about each other. They cared about the program. I think they care a little bit about me as well. They played hard, played for each other. And then we slowly started to implement a couple of the new guys. And then we had to figure out how we play. Every team you're going to play plays different. We were unique in our play style, but I think it started with the building a staff. And it's not just about what the staff knows. And one, it's about what they can teach. And then it's about their ability to work together. If you saw how we work on a daily basis, you'd be like, that's actually really cool. Our coaches spend a ton of time together talking things out. The whole staff does scouting reports. So nobody has some answer. The whole staff takes accountability for every player we recruit. So it's not my guy and your guy. And I think when you provide a united front for your players, then they understand that only united is the way in which we're going to be successful.
Yeah. I don't know how you hired coaches to jump into a 2-8 program. That's one of the best sales jobs, Doug, that I think I've heard of. So kudos to you for getting anyone to say, I'm in with you, because they jumped into a live foxhole at that point.
Well, a little bit of the construct of this team, Zabe, is we're all guys that people had told, no, you're not good enough. You know, I got Andy Ground because he just retired, and I tried to get him the year before, but
you got a guy out of retirement.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's my high school coach. He's like my second father. And so I begged him the year before, but he's like, I can't, I got till December. So I got to, you know, get through to get 63 and get all my retirement stuff. He had just moved to Vegas. Right. So his wife is like, you know, granted him this year to come. He lives with me.
Wow.
So, so, I mean, it's one of the ways I got him was I was like, hey, I can't pay you a ton, but you got no rent and you can live with me. So he lives with me. And then Terry Rupp, yes, I mean, again,
which is awesome. Yeah. Huh? And he said yes.
Yeah.
To
and
it,
then, awesome. Right. And then, you know, Terry Rupp, I mean, I'll just be honest. He got fired at Oregon State. They went to Elite Eight. He got fired at Oregon State. Then he was at Detroit Mercy. They got fired Mike Davis 2 years ago. And, you know, again, he's 72. He turned 73 this year. He didn't do it for the money. He does it because he just loves ball. And he had a great relationship with my brother when they were together at Oregon State. But people had told him no. And then every player we brought in, Zabe, none of them were had played a Division I game in their life. Of my starters this year, four of them started their college career as walk-ons. And the fifth one is Marcus Hall, and he didn't have a ton of scholarship offers. And the point is that I prefer hungry to entitlement. No matter what people want to think about me and how I got a coaching job without being a college assistant, the last thing in the world I believe in is being entitled. I work my ass off in broadcasting. I work my ass off in coaching. I work my ass off in anything I do. And I wanted to surround myself with people who had no entitlement, didn't do things for the money, just came because they love ball, wanted to work, and wanted to do it together. And that's really the theme of how we're building it. And as you know, it kind of fits with the feeling of Green Bay, right? Like Green Bay shouldn't have an NFL team, right? Hardworking, blue collar, figure it out. Everybody's mm-hmm. kind of the same. You can sit at a bar in Wisconsin and everybody drinks these Wisconsin old fashions, but you're sitting next to two guys. They look the same. One guy owns five businesses, a multimillionaire. He's got a big, big old spread up in the UP. And yep. The other guy's, you know, working 9 to 5 and you can't tell the difference. Well, that's the type of basketball program you had to build. And that's what we went about doing it. And now we got to go do it again.
Yeah. They're great people. One guy has a dirty hoodie on at the bar, the other guy has a dirty hoodie on, and you don't know which one's the multimillionaire. But they're both great dudes.
Correct.
And you're going to enjoy your beer or your old-fashioned, because that's just how it is. Doug Gottlieb, head coach, UW Green Bay, joining us here. So I loved the play-in game win for Miami, as a lot of people did. It was nice that what many of us understand, that the basketball doesn't know how much money your program is spending on this, that, or the other, that good basketball is good basketball. That alone was really satisfying. How did you feel about it?
Well, first, I mean, they play good ball. And they're more of an offensive-minded team, which there's an interesting kind of basketball discussion because for years, you know, and even this year, we focused really on our defense. Our offense led the league in efficiency. But offense has kind of taken over the college game. So there's a basketball discussion to it. But just in the big scheme of things, yeah. I mean, one thing that's missed is the juxtaposition of SMU, okay? SMU has bought their way to everything ever.
That's what they right? do in dance.
No one mentioned this, but I will, okay? SMU, of course, dirtiest football program. They kept getting caught in the 80s. Right. So they get the death penalty. Somehow they became this sympathetic figure, which is just comical to me. Right. They literally bought their way into the ACC.
Yes.
People should remember they don't get TV rights. I think for like the first 5 years, they bought their way. Like literally they are the worst incarnation of college sports. Right. They're a small, rich private school in an incredible. And I have my two nephews go to school there. It's an unbelievable school. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Sounds like some serious SMU blasphemy.
No,
and I know.
I'm just, again, the reality to it is they bought their way in.
That's what they do.
ACC.
Yes.
Right? No. Yeah. So they were, hey, money changes everything, right? And yet you can't buy your way out of that game last night. And the other part was they BS'd the committee and it was completely missed. Again, this is part of what happens. That, yeah. And Syracuse has done it before. It's complete shit, Zabe. It just is. And you hear people like, that's the difference. They played poorly down the stretch because they didn't have him. And they're like, no, he'll be ready for the tournament. And this is why when you have an injured player, it should knock you down a seed line. Like the story of the selection committee and things they missed, like, are you kidding me? San Diego State and New Mexico didn't get in. Forget about Auburn. You don't have to put them in if you don't want to. Like those are big time. Belmont wins the Valley by a lot. Then they get upset in Arch Madness. Like I those programs were elite mid-major programs. So look, I thought, and let's not act like Miami's poor now. In their league, they probably have second or third most money. They also kind of, they bought some wins with the guarantees and the MTEs. But I do think that the juxtaposition of Miami of Ohio, who undefeated in the regular season, barely gets in with an SMU who truthfully shouldn't have been in the tournament because they didn't have one of their best players and lied about it. And a program that bought their way into the high major category. SMU's never been a high major. And we saw what happened in football. We see what happens in basketball. They get exposed as they're not really what their conference affiliation deems them to be. And then the basketball was beautiful. And then the other part to it is you have a team that's put together with money with SMU. And it was held together by money from Miami of Ohio. Let's not kid ourselves. They had to pay those guys to keep them for an extra year. But the cohesion of that program, when you have a high retention rate, you're going to be more successful. That's our – I mean, you ask what's better, like, they learn more. They play together. They like each other more. They have great relationships. It's just better when they stay. Now, the right ones have to stay. But, yeah I thought that was a great win for college basketball last night.
I saw you on Jason Whitlock. Did you see Frank Martin when he talked to Whitlock about how pretty much the big boys have gerrymandered out many of the mid-majors? And I had forgotten that the SEC was once upon a time a three-bid league, and last year they got 14. Like, that to me hurts my heart, Doug, because the tournament's better when the mid-majors have a proper seat at the table.
Yeah, I did. I thought your wording is better. The gerrymandering is better than saying rigged, because people think rigged and they think it's illegal what they're doing. It's not. Right. It's just smart. Now, in fairness, every conference meets every year and sets out rules for scheduling in an effort to get either a better seed or more teams in. That's the reality to it. The MAC, for example, where the Miami of Ohio comes from, I don't know if they play guarantee. I don't know if they're allowed to. They played three non-D1s. We were only allowed to play two. And I don't think they play guarantee games. You know, our league, we played, I think, three this year. Played four last year, you know, Oakland played seven. So that changes your numbers greatly. So the first thing is for people to understand, every conference tries to rig, gerrymander, whatever to get their teams in. And the ACC, the PAC, all these leagues have gone through down years where they've had a couple. But the essence of what Frank's saying is true, which is if you think they're going to add more teams to the tournament and add more mid-majors, you are kidding yourselves. Because we're all just trying to keep this thing together because the high majors have the power, because the high majors have the money. And even though it's beautiful to see a great mid-major have success, you have to have the high majors to make it all work. And they have basically created a world in which we can't do anything without them saying it's okay. Right? Yeah. It's all threats. They're going to leave the NCAA like, okay. And then you're going to form another organization that has the NCAA, right? So I don't really know. But, I did see Frank's interview, and he is 100% accurate in what has happened in terms of the numbers, and it justifies all these appearances from from schools. And it should also be mentioned that the SEC has thrown a bunch of money in basketball. They have elite coaches, and it's another reason that they're actually better. So I'm not saying that they don't have great programs and great players, but it is. I mean, like, look, I'm going to take the floor last year with a team that was less than $400,000. Okay, and you can't do anything in the SEC unless you have $8-9 million. Think about that. Like, what is that like?
Yeah,
you know, it's super deflating. To how much is the kid? Wait, he scored how many points? You want $500,000 for him? Like, get out of here. How's that possible? And they'll pay kids just sit on their bench.
Yeah. I love the leave the NCAA people argument, because I try to say to them, I go, well, they're going to have to then create their own one, which is going to be what, the NCAB? And then they're going to have to pay for that thing because somebody has to make the rules. So have you thought this one out?
No, it's no different than the defund the police and all the other stuff. Like,
and then then once you do that, then what are you going to do? Who's going to actually arrest the bad guys? Okay, a couple more things real quick. I appreciate your time during this tournament run here. Does working the refs work as a principal?
For Greg Campy, it absolutely does. in my league, like, Camp's been doing it for like what, 44 years or something.
Yeah.
And he is just, and we don't know if he's talking to him about playing at Oakland Hills, at Oakland Country Club, or if he's talking to him about low post defense. But I'm telling you, he works them every time out.
Campy's the head coach at Oakland, for those that don't know. And he's been there for I think the longest of any tenured coach in D1.
Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing. And he's terrible to him. And yet he gets all the calls. He had Brody Robinson this year. Brody Robinson is probably 5'8.5". He's a really good player. Brody Robinson led the country in free throw attempts listed at 5'9" or 5'10", 5'11". Right. He's the free throw baiter ever. And like, Campy's down there complaining. We're like, dude, look at the other players in the country who are top 10 in free throw attempts. They're all like 6'6" and above. You got the one guy who's jumping into guys and getting calls. Anyway, does it work? I don't know. Like, I honestly, this year, for the most part, I was really good. You know, I got into it after post game because I got a tee I didn't deserve against Milwaukee. I didn't think they had an 81% free throw rate in the second half, Zabe. Just for perspective, We led our league in free throw attempts. Our free throw rate's about 41% for the year, 81% in the second half against Milwaukee. So for them, I was irate, not just because of the officiating, because like, I got a T and I didn't say anything. So I don't know. Most of them are pretty good guys, but you will run up on a guy that's got an attitude for whatever reason. Could be something I said. Could be something. Sometimes they hear something on the bench, you know, assistant coaches say something. I don't know really how to work them. You know, what I've tried to do though is you don't be demonstrative. You wait till timeouts. You find the guy who's going to listen to you and you just try and make one or two points. But I don't know if it works because I haven't been doing it long enough. I can tell you it works for Campy. Nobody works him like him and he gets all the calls.
Yeah, well, you got to. Until they invent robot referees, you're going to have to work the humans because they're humans. And so they're obviously influenceable. You got to find a way to do it that doesn't hurt your team. And I think these referees, a lot of them, they know exactly how many years Coach A versus Coach B has been in the league. And there's sort of a hazing period for the new guys. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I guess. Look, I'll just tell you. So our league this year, we played a lot of kind of non-traditional days, a lot of Fridays, Sundays. And I will tell you that when we play on a Friday or when we play on a Monday, and there's like not because we share officials with the MAC, with the Big Ten, and with us. So if you get a guy who's officiated in the Big Ten, sometimes they're a little arrogant, but they're arrogant because they're just better. They're like way better. They have complete command of it. They may screw it up, but then they know how to handle it better. It's really just like coaches. We screw up things because we're young and inexperienced and we're trying to climb. I think a lot of those guys are young and inexperienced, sometimes emotional, and they screw it up as well.
Yeah. Well, in a long ago lifetime, when I was the play-by-play voice of the Gauchos, UC Santa Barbara, the first thing we did on the road was look at the ref sheet. Who do we have tonight? And there were certain guys that if you saw their name, you're like, ooh, this is good. This guy's a solid whistle. He'll give us a call on the road if it's a legit foul. And sometimes you'd look at the refs and you just go, boy, oh boy, we better be winning by 20 tonight.
I'll share with you a real quick story, okay? So we're in my first conference tournament game against Oakland last year. And keep in mind, we were bad, but we had Oakland down 14 with like 3.5 to go on senior night and choked it away, lost in overtime, right? So we come back, we have to play them the very next game. And, you know, the first 7 or 8 minutes was just terribly officiated by one particular official who we'd had previously. And there was an older veteran, Big Ten official who was there. And during a timeout, I'm like, can you please help your partner? We just feel like he's killing us. He's not being fair to us. He's staring at me in the bench. You know, he's trying, like, I did the AAU parent thing where I was counting seconds in the lane because it was ridiculous. Anyway, he said, is every player on your roster good enough to play at this level? I said, no. He said, we have the same issues on our roster.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was awesome. He just told me the guy's not any good and he's trying to cover for it. Like, all right, just, hey man, do the best you can.
Got to navigate around it. All right. I would love to know as an exit question, how do you schedule up in terms of, yes, we'd like to add some bigger name teams, some power one, some quad one teams. How hard is that? And what type of school could you realistically get to agree to a simple home and home with the University of Wisconsin?
Home and home? Come
on. Yes, home and home. Home and home.
We'd just be like, we beat Santa Barbara. We beat Santa Barbara. As Joe Pasternak's going to tell everybody, don't ever go there. Ever. Ever. Santa Barbara was so good. And we, for us, it was. They were top 125.
Okay, so that was a big one for you guys.
At the time, they were top 125. Like, you know, like, look, we're trying to get Minnesota, Nico, because he has Coach Bennett's grandsons on his staff. We're like, hey, we'll do a 2-for-1. We'll take no money, just come back.
With no money with Minnesota? Woof, that's tough.
What's tough for who?
It's tough for you guys to get anyone to burnish your resume. It's hard to schedule.
So, like, here's one. So, I'd like to get UIC, okay, a former Horizon League foe, to play a home and home, okay? So, here's where the numbers screw you. So, the Missouri Valley Conference, okay, has a rule where you have to play at least five games against top 125 or better in the non-conference. Okay. Now, so first of all, we don't even necessarily want, I'll get to why we don't really want top 100. It's not really what we're looking for. Okay. But they can't come schedule us on a home and home because our net numbers are too low. Now the net numbers are from last year. So they can't even come play us. Because if they do, it doesn't count. It counts against them in their conference scheduling thing, right? Which doesn't make any sense. And now this year, our numbers are higher.
So who cares what
last year? And then this year, our numbers are higher, but they're still not going to get to that threshold. I think it's 120. I think it's 135 and above. And we're not going to get there. We'll probably end up in the 180s or whatever. So we can't get there. Milwaukee, they've already scheduled because Milwaukee last year was below 135. This year, they're like 280 or something because they had a bunch of injuries and they weren't good this year, right? So the scheduling thing is crazy. But Zabe, forget about scheduling. You're not going to play a high major. Like, they're not going to play you. The only way to play them is in a bye game or maybe some of these MTEs where you go in a neutral site, but those neutral site games cost a lot of money because you got to pay for your travel and everything else. Right. But we can't get anybody the problem was when we were bad, everybody wanted to play. Now we're decent. Nobody wants to play. Zero people. And if they do, hey, we'll start a home and home, start at our place. I mean, I've talked to 30 schools. They're like, we'd love to play it. Let's start at our place. So our goal is to simply get five non-conference home games. Think about this for a second, okay? And this is why Miami of Ohio, like, let's not, they gerrymander, I think was your word, good word.
Yep.
They had the easiest schedule I've ever seen for a mid-major. It's awesome. Like, again, when we say that, understand that coaches wish we had Miami of Ohio's schedule. Right? Because I have to play probably five bye games next year. Right. So first we're playing Bradley on the road. That's a bye game. I have to go to St. Thomas. That's pre-contracted. That's a home and home. It's a 6-year series that I don't want to play because they're so damn good. So those two I have to have. Now I got to go play four more bye games. That's likely four more losses, right? I'll play two non-D1s. Right. So now I'm at what? 5-1-2. Okay. So I'm at 8. I have four more games after that. Okay. So I'm trying to get four home and home started. I'll start two on the road and then I'll start two at home. I just can't get anybody to play those two at home because the teams below you, they don't want to come play at your place and take a loss. The teams above you, they don't want to come at your place and take a loss. Some teams now in the OVC, not the OVC, the Summit League, those schools, South Dakota, North Dakota, they want to play us home and home in the same year just because they have to get games because they only have 16 regular season conference games. So, and you got to get to 33 next year. So, it's the scheduling thing is really hard.
Yeah. I just out of curiosity, I looked up when was the last time you guys played the Big Red W, Wisconsin, and it was November of 2022.
And what happened, by the way?
It was 56-45, Wisconsin won, but you guys used to play them pretty much every year. But the last two times they went up to Green Bay in 2013, they narrowly escaped with a 3-point win. The time before that in 2009, they lost in overtime. And that's that for the Big Red W going up there to your place, I would assume.
Yep. So I talked with Coach Guard. We could have played them in a bye game last year. We just couldn't make the dates work. One of the teams that we were contracted from a previous staff to play, I couldn't move it. And it was late. I did ask if they wanted to come up and play. There was a fight. He said, we'll play on a guarantee. I said, okay, coach, how much? He said, $500,000.
So when you say the little school has to pay money to buy.
Well, that was his thing. I buy game. And so understand, I was like $500,000. Like in what world does that work? Right.
You don't have that money.
No. And again, like even just think about it in your mind, you know, 9,000 seats for sale. We sell them at $30 a pop. That's 270 grand. Like we're never even going to get to a break even point there. You know, we get title sponsors or whatever. So look, we're doing everything we can. What we want to do is we want to play somebody big the night before the Packers play. I would love to play Illinois, Chicago the night before the Bears play the Packers. Would I like to do DePaul? Yes, I do DePaul. Anybody in Chicago wants to come up and play and you play right across from Lambeau at the Resch. It'll be a great night. We got some hotel rooms sequestered, but getting to that place is really, really hard. And it makes it worse when you actually win a couple games and people think you're decent.
Yeah. All right, coach, I appreciate your time. I hope you don't mind me calling you coach. I call everybody who is an active coach, coach. It's an honorific one you deserve. You're in there, you're grinding, and I appreciate the time, Doug.
The answer is I'm headed to Phil's Coffee, and I'm hauling my mom's dog. Where are you headed? Where are you hauling?
Yeah, where are you at? What you hauling? That's awesome. You remember my bit from back in the day on Fox Sports Radio.
The best. You have no idea. I used to steal your material all the time. I listened to you going to and coming from work, and I'm like, just – change the names of what he's doing and figure it out. Zabe, you do a great job. We got to do this more often. All right. But more than anything, I've been a fan for a long time, so I love coming on with you.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. All right, thanks for making it to the end here. One more on the way out the door. You buy an American Airlines plane ticket, or at least you think it's a plane ticket. You know, it's American Airlines, right? while some customers are saying, wait, what? As they report to the airport, go through security, get to the gate, and then find they're boarding a bus. This is happening at smaller airports around the country that have hubs to larger cities. You book a ticket directly through American Airlines, and they may indeed start the first leg of your flight on a bus. These bus services include South Bend, Indiana to O'Hare, Rockford, Illinois to O'Hare, as well as six locations outside of Philadelphia to American's hub there. You have to look at the fine print, or maybe it's not even fine print, but it's listed there if you read it. I'm not going to read. I'm just like, click, click, click. Oh, there's a flight that I can go from small shit town of, well, I don't want to say shit town because those towns I just mentioned are wonderful towns with great people. I got a flight from small town USA all the way to Los Angeles for this price. I'm on. Well, the first part of the flight is a bus. And yes, it's a giant tour bus that says American Airlines on the outside. American defends the practice saying it's fully disclosed, and they defend it saying, hey, it's actually an easy way to get to that larger airport. You've already been through security. It's a nice, big, comfortable bus. And what are you going to do? Drive yourself and park and schlep your luggage? No, come on. We got you. But that is the first I've ever heard of that. So careful. If you book a flight, make sure the first leg is not actually a bus. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great Tuesday. Download as well as spread the word. Rate and review if you got a second to do that. It tickles and pleases the algorithmic overlords. Thank you to Doug Gottlieb for being our guest today. Have yourself a nice Tuesday. Results of the championship game too late for this edition. They will appear dutifully in the Wednesday's Abecast. All the thrills, spills, chills, second guessing, and more. Plus a review of one shining moment. Okay, I won't sing. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.